My name is Sean Holman. I'm a journalism professor at Mount Royal University in Calgary.
So perhaps you can speak more broadly for a second here. What is the legal status of media ethics in Canada? Is it codified? Is it formalized? Or is it kind of the Wild West still?
It's the Wild West, right? And, you know, to a certain extent, it always has been, right? I mean, the nature of journalism ethics, although this is changing as a result of government funding, the nature of journalism ethics is that journalists should set those ethics themselves, right? That it shouldn't be something that government imposes, right? For example, it's important for a free and open society, and it's important for a free press. However, that being said, you know, the challenge is that every outlet, you know, in Canada sort of does, right, set their own standards, right? Or every, you know, media publication does set their own standards. There is the Canadian Association of Journalists ethics guidelines, which do exist. But again, those are sort of only guidelines. And, you know, what's interesting is, you know, over time, the news media really has resisted sort of attempts to sort of professionalize themselves in that matter, right? So, it's sort of and sort of establish a more clear code, right, of ethics, right? So that's unfortunate. The important thing to keep in mind is that news media outlets are not common carriers. What do I mean by that? A common carrier is like a telephone system. The telephone system cannot and should not control what citizens use that telephone system for. It shouldn't have a say, right, over what we talk about. That's what a common carrier is. In the case of the news media, we're not a common carrier. Every single thing that we put in the newspaper from a journalistic standpoint, and that includes letters to the editor, should go through a journalistic process. We make choices about what appears in our publications and in our broadcasts, and we make choices about what shouldn't appear in our publications and broadcasts. It's a choice. And the choices that we make in that regard should always be guided by what is our highest mission, which is the truth. And so in the case of a letter to the editor that expresses racist ideas, as journalists, we need to then consider what the result of that is going to be in good conscience. And the result of that could very well be the continued propagation of ignorant beliefs, which is contrary to the truth.
And what about this argument that because it's a letter to the editor and it is a representation of beliefs that are out there in the community, that there is an issue of freedom of speech if you make the editorial choice to not publish that?
By all means, report on the existence of racist beliefs in the community. That's important for a journalism outlet to do, and would be a good idea in any community that's struggling with racism. We shouldn't hide these things in our publications and broadcasts. We should surface these things in our publications and broadcasts. But as in any situation where there is a risk of the propagation of untrue beliefs, we should then use our best editorial judgment and report on that as reporters, rather than simply giving a clear and open platform for someone to express those views.
And in your classroom, in your role as a professor, are you noticing a shift in mentality around these things? Is there a generational shift in the works?
That's really interesting. I think there's a shift in journalism ethics in general. I think there has been a realization that some of the principles that we've constantly sort of fallen back on in the past don't necessarily work, or don't necessarily work as well as they should. You know, for example, the sort of issue of objectivity, right, and bias, right, and being unbiased. In my view, we often spend enormous amounts of time worrying about that, when in actuality, the thing that we should be worrying about the most is the truth. And are we presenting the truth? It shouldn't matter a perception of bias, as long as we're doing our job and as long as we're assuring that we can, get to the truth, right, as much as possible. You know, we've sort of gotten so worried, right, about appearing objective and appearing unbiased, that we've forgotten that the most important value that we're trying to uphold is the truth. And it doesn't help our readers, and it doesn't help our viewers, and it doesn't help our listeners when we obscure the truth in the service of appearing unbiased and objective.
And how about this role as gatekeepers? You mentioned briefly the letters to the editor as an example of an area where that responsibility has to extend to as well. What are the limitations around what to include and what not to include when presenting other people's ideas?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think we should be bound by the truth, right? When we shouldn't simply say, again, that this is sort of, we're a common carrier and we just, you know, publish anything that comes in. We're not. We're making choices all the time, right? And so how does it serve a community if you publish material that is untrue? I don't understand how that serves the community. I don't understand how that's healthy for the community. And I don't understand how that's healthy for journalism. And I don't understand how that's healthy for a publication or a broadcast. If you publish material that's untrue, you degrade your own ability to function as a bastion of truthful information.
So you've spent some time here in Prince George. Broadly speaking, what are your impressions of the media landscape here, and maybe just more generally in remote places across the country?
I think, like most places in Canada, there's a greater need for media diversity. The media in Canada really is quite small, even in the best of circumstances. And the result is that our communities are not being served the way they should be by journalism in this country and by the news media in this country. And that's really unfortunate. But I think a lot of this traces back to just how curious we are about our own communities and our own country. I think the unfortunate thing is that for too many Canadians, they're not curious about their own country and their own communities, or at least not as curious as they should be. And there's good reasons for that. Our political system, as a result of party discipline, gives people very little influence between elections. So as a result, if they have very little influence between elections, what's the point of paying attention to the media? You don't really actually require that information, because you can't really make much of a difference anyways. And even if people didn't feel that way, The other, of course, challenges is that most Canadian news outlets lack the resources to get the information they need to make the country more interesting. There's so much secrecy in Canada about information that really should be available to the public that it makes the work of journalists that much more difficult. So I think when you sort of combine those two things, right, our real inability to sort of affect change in this country between elections, although that's not necessarily always the case at a local council level, but then also add into that the real problems when it comes to access to information, then you don't have a situation where there's a lot of demand for good journalism. And I think if we really want to get at the root of what is compromising journalism in this country, we should really pay attention to those things that are limiting demand for it. And those things have nothing to do with the internet or social media. They're long-standing problems.
Can you give an example of some of the areas that are shrouded in secrecy that make journalists' jobs so much harder?
Yeah, really good example would be mining information in Canada and in British Columbia specifically. There's a whole bunch of mines in British Columbia. We know very little about safety violations that happen in those mines. We know very little about the environmental violations that happen in those mines. Those are all shrouded in secrecy because of third-party confidentiality. Hmm. By comparison, in the United States, I can pull up the records of every single mine in the United States, including mines that have been shut down, and get detailed information about every single safety violation and every single environmental violation at those mines, including minor safety violations, such as, you know, broken arms and such. That's just an example of the kind of information disparity that exists between Canada and the United States. And that's really unfortunate, right? Because Canadians, British Columbians, should have a right to know what's going on in their mines, whether or not those mines are safe, and whether or not those mines are violating environmental regulations. Not just when something big happens, like the Mount Polley mine incident, but so that we can pay attention and catch these problems before they start.
Mm-hmm. And what has been your experience with freedom of information requests? What's the process like for that in Canada? Is that a useful tool?
It's not a useful tool at all. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say it's not a useful tool at all. It can be a useful tool, but our laws have become so ossified, and we're really built on what could best be described as an unsteady bedrock, that it makes it very difficult to use that legislation to get information out of the government that the government doesn't want to voluntarily provide. And that means we're essentially forced in a lot of circumstances to rely on government propaganda for our reporting, which doesn't make for really great journalism, and then degrades interest in the journalistic product in Canada.
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. To wrap up, maybe, what are some of the tools available to the public that are built to kind of push back against subpar journalism, or if people have concerns about media ethics in their local journalism?
Very little, unfortunately. It's Canada. But I think the biggest thing that people can do is complain about government secrecy, elect people who are going to do something about government secrecy, complain about the lack of power citizens have in Canada, and then elect people who are going to do something about that lack of power, and support independent media outlets that are trying to do things better. Mm-hmm. Those three things would dramatically improve the civic health of our nation. But I think, unfortunately, for the most part, Canadians often aren't concerned about these kind of process issues. We're more concerned with the sort of big issues, such as homelessness or environmentalism, climate change, racism. These are all very important issues. But if we fail to appreciate how the undemocratic structure of Canada contributes to these problems, then those problems will simply continue. We need a better political system than the one that we have, and we need a better media system than the one we have. And by improving both of those things, we will be able to do a better job at addressing some of the most pressing issues of our time.
Sean Holman, thank you so much for speaking with me today. I really appreciate your time.
No worries whatsoever. It's totally my pleasure.